This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. All week long, we are celebrating summer reading. And once upon a time, there were few places more popular for New Yorkers to spend their summers and maybe crack open a good book than in the Catskills. After decades of decline in popularity, the area known as the Borscht Belt, historically a haven for Jewish families who were discriminated against at other resorts, has seen a new generation of tourists heading upstate to take in the region's storied mountain air. At least that's the hope of the protagonists of the buzzy novel Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. The Golden Hotel was once one of the grandest resorts in Windsor, New York, attracting guests from near and far to enjoy their upscale fare and festivities. Since 1960, these amenities included banquet dinners, obstacle course races, and a kidney bean-shaped pool, all laid out on a sprawling campus. It was presided over by two families, the Goldmans and the Weingolds, whose patriarchs Benny and Amos were longtime friends from their youth in the Lower East Side. The hope was to pass down the traditions of their hotel to their children. Decades later, the glory days of the Golden are long gone. In their place has come a whole lot of complicated history. With a potential buyout in the works, the families reunite at the hotel once again, and it's from there that the drama ensues. The novel is the fourth from author Alyssa Friedland, best known for 2019's The Floating Feldmans. I spoke to Alyssa in June of this year, and we also opened up the phones to our listeners and asked them to share their own memories of summers spent in the Catskills. And as you'll hear, we got some truly amazing stories. I began my conversation with Alyssa by asking her about the beginning of the book, which starts in 1981. I asked her why she wanted to start in 1981 before heading back to the modern day.
It really worked for me with the timing so that the founders, it was important to me that the grandparent generation were also the founders. So while many of these hotels and resorts and bungalow colonies were around earlier than 1960, that wouldn't have really worked for me to do a three-generational story. And it was so important to me that the grandparents weren't just more attached to the Catskills and the Borscht Belt than their children and grandchildren, but that they had actually built it, you know, on their hands and knees, that they could tell you a story about every piece of plywood, that they knew where, basically they know where the bodies are buried. They had to sacrifice, and, you know, it's their vision. And they pour their heart and soul to building this resort, and that just makes the conflict that much greater. So by having the hotel opened in 1960, it worked for me to then have millennial grandchildren in 2019 when the book takes place.
I love what one citizen reviewer said of the book. Having grown up Jewish in the New Jersey, New York area in the 1970s, we've made trips to the Catskills, so this book felt so familiar to me. It's a world that was so hard to explain to other people. What did you want to describe about this world? How did you want to think about explaining it to people who don't know or don't understand the culture of the Catskills at that time?
Well, I'm very lucky, I think, that Dirty Dancing was such a popular movie and such a beloved movie because, yes, it's so important as a writer to use my words to create this evocative scene and make people understand what it was like. But I had a little bit of a cheat sheet in the sense that, you know, once Dirty Dancing started being used as a buzzword in marketing my book, and just like Dirty Dancing, it's just like Kellerman's, people already had this wonderful association in their mind of the type of resort I was describing. But of course, that's not enough. And I wasn't, you know, this is my own story. This is not just the story of Baby and Kellerman's at all. I have my own story to tell. I wanted people to realize that it was magical. It was wholesome, but with some secrets and some shadiness and some, you know, drama behind the wholesome, behind the bingo. There was plenty of drama and plenty of, you know, salacious things happening in these family camps. And also really that it'll probably never happen again. I understand that the Catskills are having a resurgence, but it's a very different Catskills than the Catskills of the Borscht Belt. And I think that people are nostalgic for this time, but at most they might sign up for a 5-6 day family camp up there. But the generation of people going for 6-7 weeks at a time and just parking themselves in Liberty, New York without a cell phone, it's not happening again. And I wanted people to really understand just how magical and special and one of a kind this experience was.
Let's take a call. Liz on line one is calling in. Hey, Liz, you're on All of It. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. You have to speak right into your phone.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I just wanted to share that I grew up at, I live in New Jersey now, but I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up in Harlem. And in the summertime, my parents would send us to some sleepaway camp for the entire 6 weeks during the summer as a kid. And I loved it. It was like that one great escape close to New York. It really informed who I am today as an environmental educator. I even got a master's in environmental education. But it was that love of just being outside in the Catskills as a kid and just, you know, playing in the woods and finding snakes. And it really just informed who I am today. And I love the Catskills because of that. Even though I don't go there as often as I'd like, I love the Catskills. Absolutely.
Liz, thank you for sharing your story. Appreciate it. Let's go to Adam on line two, who also spent some time in the Catskills. Hi, Adam. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Of course. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm 32 years old, and I think I kind of grew up at the very end of the glory days of the Borscht Belt. My grandparents took me to, like, the Homowack and Kutcher's and the Concord Hotel, and it was always a very special place. And I think it's so exciting that this book kind of fleshes out what it was like, and I really hope it's something, you know, I just had a kid, so it's something I hope I could kind of return to with him.
That's excellent, Adam. Thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Alyssa Friedland. The name of her novel is Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. Now, you know, it's sort of a cliche, but it's accurate and it's correct and makes sense for this novel that the hotel is a character in the book. How did you think about making the hotel a character?
You know, it's not really a deliberate choice, but I think the setting had to be so rich because it was, this book is so much all about the hotel that it ends up becoming a character. I mean, you don't think about a physical building having personality traits like all my characters do, but eventually, once you spend so much time describing something and making sure that readers can taste it and smell it and touch it and feel it, and it's as though they've actually checked into the hotel. Once you've poured so much into that as an author, it does become a character. It feels like a living, breathing thing. And that was the point, because the whole plot of the book is what are these two families that own the hotel? Are they going to keep it or are they going to sell it? And you have to care about something more than you would care about an inanimate object. So the fact that the hotel came to life as a character was, you know, I wouldn't say it was the objective from, you know, the first word that I wrote, but certainly I knew I needed readers to really, really care about the fate of this place. And so breathing life into it is the only way to really accomplish that.
Well, let's talk about these two families, the heads of the families, the Goldmans and the Weingolds. How does each family think about modernizing versus keeping the traditions of the hotel?
So each family, they're 50-50 owners, they're three generations, return to campus to decide. And I think the grandparents generally feel the same way. Of the four founders of the oldest generation, one is deceased, one of the founders is deceased, and three are still living. And I think that they remember the good times. And I think it was important to me. I didn't want them to seem, you know, completely disengaged. Like, I wanted them to realize, I don't want them to have their head in the sand. So they see that the reservation book is empty. They see the duct tape on the furniture. They know that the pool needs to be torn up and replaced. So they're not oblivious, but they still have such an attachment that the idea of the building being torn down and the offer that they receive from the casino developer is essentially a land value. I mean, sure, they like to think, oh, this developer wants to convert the hotel and turn it into a casino. But ultimately, that means bulldozers on day one and just really using the land. And that's really heartbreaking for them. And then you have the grandchildren, and they're all different ranges of, I don't really care about this hotel. This place is weird. I'd much rather be in the Bahamas. I'd rather be someplace that has an Instagram wall or something cool that I can post on TikTok. And I don't need to be in a place with spotty Wi-Fi. And then they get there and they're like, wait a second. Like, I'm actually from a very cool legacy. And, you know, I got to know Brandon Grossinger, who is obviously a Grossinger of Grossinger's Resort. And he's about my age, I would say. You know, I think he's in his 30s. And, you know, he's so proud to be a Grossinger. I can see it. And he loves when he meets people and they say, you know, especially because Grossinger is a unique last name. And they say, are you Grossinger of Grossingers? And, you know, his face just sort of took on a certain character of pride. And for me, I wanted my grandchildren to not quite be there yet in the book, but over the week they spend there, especially where they realize that this hotel that they kind of neglected might not be there anymore, to realize what a special legacy they come from. But of course, they're millennials and Gen Zers, and they're like, well, yes, I mean, we might love this hotel and we want it to succeed, but like, nothing can succeed if you don't have artisanal, you know, milk and farm-to-table offerings and vegan offerings. And naturally, you have to have a cryotherapy tank and goat yoga, or else nobody will want to come. And the grandparents are shaking their heads, thinking, like, once upon a time, people were happy with Bingo and Simon Says, which was, of course, a popular favorite back then. And then you've got your middle generation who basically just wants to pull their hair out. They have to deal with their children and their parents all in one week, and they'd rather just disappear.
My guest is Alyssa Friedland. The name of her novel is Last Summer at the Golden Hotel. It's so interesting that you mentioned the Grossingers, because we have a caller on line four, Julie from Brooklyn, who had an experience that's very important to her with relation to the Grossingers.
Oh, can't wait to hear.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi. So my father grew up in Liberty. His parents were able to come to the United States, and basically they were fleeing for their lives in post-war Czechoslovakia and Croatia, where they had both had to give up their lives working in family-run hotels. They were both from famous hotelier families. And Mr. and Mrs. Grossinger sponsored my grandparents. I'm sorry, I'm tearing up, but they sponsored my grandparents because my uncle, Louie, had been the chief gardener for the resort back then. And so and my cat's name is Louie now, in honor of him. I would not be alive today had it not been for the Grossinger family. And they sponsored my grandparents, who, because they couldn't speak English, they started off, my grandfather started off cleaning herring in the kitchen, and my grandmother started off as a maid, and by the end, my grandmother was, by the time they retired, my grandmother was in charge of front of house operations in the resort restaurant, and my grandfather was the head purchasing manager for the kitchen. And, you know, they, as a family, took care of my family in a time when my father grew up being accused of being a red pinko, you know, yeah, all of these things. They used to sneak out of church services so that they could get, you know, to the deli on time for the fresh bagels and stuff like that.
You have such good stories. I really appreciate you sharing this. Such a thoughtful and meaningful story for your life, Julie. Thank you so much for calling in. I did want to get to Barbara, who is on line one, who is in her 70s. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for calling All of It and sharing your Catskill experience.
Thank you very much for having me speak with you. My memories are really getting jogged right now. I grew up, my summers in Ferndale, New York. My great-grandparents, Hannah and Harris Levy, had a pine tree house, what was known as a cuchulain, where people would come mostly from the Lower East Side and share rooms, families all in one room, share kitchen privileges, refrigerator space, make their own meals, and socialize outside in the fresh air, go swimming in the lake. There was some association with Grossingers, and that they were contemporaries of the Grossingers. The Grossingers were good business people, as I had learned to understand, and they grew their hotel business, and my grandmother, unfortunately, gave away the best food for virtually nothing to her guests, as a great-grandmother would do, and eventually they did give up the business before the war, and we were left with a legacy of a lot of land. One of her sons opened a farm there, an egg farm, and many of us down the line ended up with a bungalow colony, which we built with prefab housing from Sears in part, as I said, after the war. And the great legends were the uncles chopped down trees single-handedly to make the space for the summer places, which they thought would last maybe a few years, but lasted till this day. There are still some of those left.
Barbara, thank you for sharing your stories. Really appreciate it. I'm going to slide in one more call. Alexandra has been holding on line three. She's calling from Brooklyn and is in her 30s. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Allison. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'd love to hear your story about the Catskills.
Yeah, well, I am actually born and raised in the Catskills. I moved to Brooklyn for work. And, you know, Alyssa, I just really wanted to thank you for writing this book because, you know, growing up, and like, just like the other caller who was also in his 30s said, like, I also grew up at the very tail end of the Borscht Belt. So, like, my memories were like, you know, the hotels were there, but they were like slowly like eking themselves up. And, you know, growing up in Sullivan County, I grew up in around Jeffersonville. And, you know, we were just like, you know, like the economy was just like so depressed and I just could not wait to get out. So I was like, I was telling your screener, if someone had told me that, you know, my New York City friends would be like clamoring to go to like Narrowsburg and Calicoon, which are like now like the really bougie places, I would have never have believed them.
Thanks for calling in. Alyssa, I'm curious your thoughts about some of these calls.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy that I'm jogging nostalgia for so many people. I mean, I'm one of those crazy authors that reads all her reviews. I guess another word would be maybe a masochist. And I love it. I love reading the reviews, especially, first of all, this book is doing really well, so they're very positive. But for people to feel like someone described it as like, this book is the hug we all need right now. And that's like probably the best compliment I can imagine. And I did, you know, something on Facebook. There are some affinity groups of people who spent their summers in the Catskills. And one time before publication, I said, I'm going to give away 5 advanced copies of the book. All you have to do is tell me what your favorite food was from the Borscht Belt. Oh, my gosh. You can't imagine. Within 2 hours, I must have had 500 responses and the dialogue between the people in the group saying, like, oh, the pletzels, those were the best, and the chow chow truck, and the this from the Red Apple Rest. And I mean, people were so joyful sharing their memories. And I just, it's so gratifying. And the best thing in the reviews, even better than the people who experienced it themselves, are the people who knew nothing about this, who write, wow, I live in Oregon. I live in West Virginia. I had no idea that this existed. Like, thank you so much for teaching me about this piece of American history that I knew nothing about. And everyone, well, not everyone, but like 98% of people end their review with, now I'm dying to go to the Catskills. Like, who would ever think, much like your last caller just said, she, you know, growing up in this sort of depressed economy and at the tail end, like the idea that people now are clamoring to go stay at these like hipster bougie places and think it's like super cool to say on Instagram that you're going to the Catskills for the weekend. Like, you know, that's also hysterical to me, but in like the best way possible. And so there's just been a lot of joy surrounding this book, and I'm really excited about it.
That was my conversation with author Alyssa Friedland about her latest novel, last summer at the Golden Hotel.